Hello, the rollicking, raw and rugged calypso of Binker and Moses, just one of many styles played by one of the bands of the moment, recorded on the jazz lineup stage at the Gateshead Jazz Festival. Their much-anticipated second album is out now. They recently appeared on Jules Holland. They are two young British musicians who are going places. Also coming up, music from several other British and international artists, including Dennis Baptiste, Talinka, and the great Jack DeJohnette, who has a brand new project called Hudson. Here's a taste. Jack DeJohnette's new project Hudson, interpreting one of Canada's great songwriters. Did you recognise it? More from that later. And talking of Canada, today, July the 1st, 2017, is also Canada's 150th birthday. The country has produced many significant jazz artists over the years, so listen out for two of my favourite musicians from Canada a bit later on in the programme. New music now from an artist who's made a real contribution to the recent history of a great American city. We're talking about New Orleans and the trumpeter Christian Scott Atunde Adjua, who'll also be at the A Love Supreme Festival in East Sussex tomorrow, Sunday the 2nd of July. On his recordings in the past few years, Scott has explored new sounds using electronics and custom-built horns, and he does so again on Diaspora, which has ear-catching programming as well as live playing. This is a track with a subtle Spanish and rock flavour called Our Lady of New Orleans. Thank you. Christian Scott Atunde Ajua with a piece called Our Lady of New Orleans. Don't forget he's at A Love Supreme at Glyne Place, East Sussex tomorrow, alongside George Benson, Kamasi Washington and Laura Mvula, to name but a few. As I'm sure you know, the festival season is well and truly upon us, and in Europe they don't come much bigger than the North Sea Jazz Festival in Rotterdam. It's happening next week from the 7th till the 9th of July, and there are dozens of must-see artists on the bill. Among the big names are three legendary pianists, McCoy Tyner, Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea. Chick's current album is a sumptuous 3-CD set on Concord Records that teams him up with some of the excellent collaborators that he's had over the past decade. We're talking about the vibraphone player Gary Burton, double bassist Stanley Clark, the aforementioned Herbie Hancock, and one of my favourite singers, the great Bobby McFerrin. Here's a lovely duet by Chick and Bobby. This is their interpretation of I've Got the World on a String. And listen to the way they cheekily play with time at the beginning of the track. Here are two master jazz musicians giving you the sound of silence.
I've got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got a song that I sing. I can make the rain go. Anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing. As long as I hold that string, I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let go. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. It's sad to say, thank you. life is a beautiful thing. As long as I hold that string, I'd be selling soul and soul. If I should ever let go, got the world on a string.
City died a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life. What a world, what a life. What a world, what a life. I'm in love. Oh, baby, come over here and talk to me. I didn't know you could play like that.
I've Got the World on a String by Chick Corea and Bobby McFerrin from the album The Musician. Chick is artist in residence at the North Sea Jazz Festival between the 7th and the 9th of July. He's doing several gigs with people like Bella Fleck and the Trondheim Jazz Orchestra, and also leading his own electric band. Still to come, a performance from Binker & Moses with their daring, thrilling combination of drums and saxophone. Firstly, another excellent duo, but this time it's two players from a different generation, Japanese pianist Aki Takase and American saxophone colossus David Murray. Cherry Secure is the title of their new album for the Swiss label Intact, and it has all the grace and fire you'd expect from two musicians who've covered all areas of the jazz tradition. This very touching piece, A Long March to Freedom, reminds us of Murray's roots in gospel music.
Thank you.
Aki Takahashi and David Murray's A Long March to Freedom, a song which seems very relevant to the times in which we live, from the album Cherry Sakura. Continuing our theme of duos, time now for a performance recorded at this year's Gateshead Jazz Festival at The Sage. Like several other young British jazz musicians, saxophonist Binker Golding and drummer Moses Boyd both emerged from the Tomorrow's Warriors workshops run by Gary Crosby. We'll enjoy their set shortly, but before we hear from the award-winning duo, let's hear what they had to say when I caught up with them backstage. They hadn't long returned from the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, where they were part of a whole slew of British artists doing showcases. Saxophonist Binker Golding was keen to tell me about the experience.
It's amazing. Austin, Texas is one of my new favourite places to be. It was one of the best festival experiences of my life, I would say. And I would say to anybody that's not been to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, you should make the trip and go and make the journey to East 6th Street, where it's all happening. Great bars, great people, great attitude. It's not the sort of stereotypical image that we have here of Texas. It's a very interesting, liberal city, and it's a wonderful place to play music, and thoroughly enjoyed it. The audience were absolutely amazing, very warm people, and some interesting characters from the grime scene that we greatly admire. For example, Kano and Getz were there performing, representing London, and it was great to see them up close and personal in South by Southwest. It's a very intimate experience, I think, in most of the venues that I went to in South by Southwest, which makes a great atmosphere.
Moses, what do people in Austin, Texas know about British jazz?
You know what? In Texas, they surprise me, their knowledge on particularly British jazz. A lot of people I was just talking to on the street and came to the showcase were really well versed and adept in sort of knowing what was going on here, like surprised all of us. I think there was a lot of good PR and hype prior to going with the whole Jazz Refresh British Underground sort of UK Jazz Showcase. But equally, I was meeting people on streets that were telling me about things, you know, people like myself, Theon Cross, and, you know, that they're listening and, you know, watching all over. So it definitely took me back, but it's the same here. You know, it's the internet is a great tool. And I think I was wrongly sort of assuming that we weren't going to be received in the same way. But people are really interested to hear something slightly different to what they're accustomed to in the sort of America. And I think, yeah, the audience is quite knowledgeable, for sure.
Did you get the sense that they understand where you're coming from stylistically and culturally, that as much as you are jazz musicians, as Binker said, you're also greatly influenced by the grime scene, you admire grime artists, you grew up listening to hip-hop, electronica, a whole range of music. It's not just jazz, and that's a vital part of who you are.
I think definitely. I think the audiences were really, I think they're really, really receptive to all the influences, particularly at a place like South by Southwest and Austin. They have this slogan in Austin, keep Austin weird. And it's like, yeah, you see it everywhere. And like, it's a, as Binker said, it's a very liberal town. So particularly in Austin, you know, people are really eclectic with their tastes. And I think, you know, people at my showcase that did stop and talk to me were, you know, equally going to see something like Savages as well as The Slaves, or, you know, as well as me or Solange next door who was playing, and really, you know, really well versed and understanding in all of the cultures and the influences in all of those styles of music, not just mine. So I think, yeah, I don't think it was anything over their head at all. You know, I think if anything, I underestimated the audience massively, you know, wrongly.
So you've had the drums and sax duo for a couple of years now. It's been developing steadily. I think the sound is becoming more and more distinctive. How do you make sure that you guys really sound like you?
We spend a lot of time kind of just listening to ourselves, really. And we talk a lot about ideas and discuss things and what would work and doesn't work, and try to create sometimes a visual image in your head before you even set pen to paper or anything like that, or even played a note. We come up with maybe an idea or a concept and sort of work backwards from it. And on top of all of that, just to always be true to ourselves, basically. People will often like to talk about, for example, Coltrane and Elvin Jones and things, which are our heroes, you know, without a doubt. But I must say, I don't think we think of them too much when we're playing. It's not to say, oh, it's been done and that's old and that's finished. You know, not at all. Is that, for me, that music's not finished. But you're not going to better that music. You can't improve on it. You have no option but to be yourself and to learn what it means to develop yourself, to develop your musical ideas. So we've learned from, you know, the greats. We've learned from the best, and we've stolen from the best as well when the time is right. But develop yourself, yeah, look within for the answers, I think.
Good insights there from Binker and Moses. Now it's time for us to head to the Gateshead Jazz Festival. Here are Binker and Moses with Fet by the River.
Hello, how you doing, Gateshead? Bika Golden on the tenor saxophone. My name is Moses Boyd. Collectively, we are Binkra Moses. Thank you for coming out and listening and giving us some vibes and making some noise. I'm seeing a few moves to the calypso. We appreciate all of that. And once again, we are Binkra Moses. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic Binkra Moses. You only need two people to form an orchestra. We'd like to dedicate that one to the dancers in the house in particular. There'll be more dancing a bit later. Trees on Fire by Binkram Moses, who had energy to burn at the Gateshead Jazz Festival, where they played tracks from their new album, Journey to the Mountain of Forever, which is out now on Gearbox Records. Do listen out for a track from that album later on the show, and we'll be going back to that performance at Gateshead too. You're listening to the best of jazz from the UK and beyond with me, Kevin Legendre, on Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3. London-based Israeli multi-reed player Gilad Atzmon has been an exciting, thought-provoking presence on the British jazz scene for the best part of two decades, and he's led many different groups in that time. A new project, Talinka, sees him work with his wife, Tali Atzmon, who was a renowned actress and singer in Israel, as well as Jenny Bliss Bennett on viola da gamba, violin, flute and vocals, and Yari Stavin on double bass, one of Gilad's regular collaborators. Together they make music that is gentle and delicate and has some very plaintive writing and improvising which draws on jazz, Middle Eastern folk, tango and early music. This is the title track of the album, Talinka.
La 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 la.
Talinka by the group Talinka, featuring Tali Atzman on vocals, Gilad Atzman on reeds, Jenny Bliss-Bennett on viola, and Yaron Stavin on double bass. Talinka is also the title of their album. It's out now on Fanfare Records. Canada celebrates its 150th anniversary today, the 1st of July. Canada has produced several influential jazz and pop artists over the years, so to mark the occasion, here's a double header of music, starting with the visionary composer and arranger from Toronto, Gil Evans. He was one of Miles Davis's essential collaborators, and here he is putting his distinctive orchestral touch to the music of the rock pioneer Miles greatly admired, Jimi Hendrix.
Get it, girl. Slow me down, baby.
Some new intriguing colours brought to a classic piece of music, Joni Mitchell's Woodstock, performed by a jazz supergroup featuring Jack DeJohnette, Larry Grenadier, John Medeski and John Scofield. Woodstock is from their album Hudson, which is out now on Motimar Records. And if Joni Mitchell is a great Canadian singer-songwriter who gets a lot of love from jazz musicians, then Gil Evans was a great Canadian composer and arranger. Just before Woodstock, you heard his rendition of Crosstown Traffic from the classic 1974 album The Gil Evans Orchestra Plays the Music of Jimi Hendrix. In the superb band were saxophonists Billy Harper and David Sanborn, and the trumpeters Lou Soloff and Marvin Hannibal Peterson, who also sang on that track. Remember, you can catch Radio 3's programme celebrating Canada 150 on the iPlayer. Next up, vibraphonist Roger Beaujolais, who is a veteran of the British jazz, soul and pop scenes, having made his debut back in the 80s with the popular jump jive band The Chevalier Brothers. Since then, he's recorded prolifically both as a bandleader and sideman with anybody from the legendary Cuban singer Omara Portuondo to drum and bass mavericks Four Hero and jazz vocalist Juliet Kelly. Roger's latest album is called Sunset, and one of the standout moments is a cover of Little Bee's poem, signature tune of a man who I'm sure inspired Roger, the late, much lamented Bobby Hutcherson. a very sensitive, wistful rendition of Bobby Hutcherson's Little Bees poem by vibraphonist Roger Beaujolais, backed by Robin Aspland on piano, Simon Thorpe on double bass, and Winston Clifford on drums. It's from the album Sunset, which is available on Stay Tuned Records. Time now for one more track from Binker and Moses from their performance at the Gateshead Jazz Festival. I've seen them several times over the years, but they were on fire that afternoon and they drew a huge audience to our free stage at the Sage Centre. This is called The Departure. The Departure by Binker and Moses from the Gateshead Jazz Festival. A great moment from the stage that Jazz Lineup hosted. Journey to the Mountain of Forever is the new studio album by Binker and Moses, which represents quite a leap forward from their 2015 debut, Dem Ones. It's a double album, with the first record being music made by the duo, and the second a series of collaborations with the likes of the iconic saxophonist Evan Parker, trumpeter Byron Wallen, and drummer Youssef Days. This track is almost like a musical meditation, a very serene piece called At the Feet of the Mountain of Forever, featuring tabla player Sarathy Korvar and harpist Tori Hansley.
Thank you.
serene, meditative sounds from the sax and drums duo Binkram Moses featuring Sarathy Kovar on tabla and Tori Hansley on harp, with a track called At the Feet of the Mountain of Forever. From Journey to the Mountain of Forever, a double album with special guests and a really striking sleeve design too. Time's almost up, but let me just tell you that on next week's jazz lineup, you can hear a performance by saxophonist Tommy Smith and pianist Brian Kellogg, recorded at the Glasgow Jazz Festival. And remember, you can hear more great jazz on Jazz Now, which is on Monday nights at 11. This week, they have a concert by Amok Amour, recorded at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. To close, we have the legendary American drummer Lewis Hayes, who makes his Blue Note Records debut as a band leader and celebrates his 80th birthday this year. The album is a tribute to one of his former band leaders who definitely has his place in the Jazz Hall of Fame, the master of hard bop piano, Horace Silver. From the album Serenade for Horace, this is Senior Blues. Till next time on Jazz Lineup, from me, Kevin Legendre, bye-bye.
That was Senior Blues by Lewis Hayes, ending tonight's Jazz Lineup. The programme was presented by Kevin Legendre and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And remember, there's more jazz tonight at midnight with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz. Geoffrey celebrates the music of saxophonist Lucky Thompson. And as Kevin mentioned, Jazz Now will be here on Monday night at 11 o'clock, where Soweto Kinch presents Amok Amour in concert at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival.
This is Music Now. From classical and folk to jazz and electronica, the new Music Biennial showcases the most exciting musicians working in Britain today. Radio 3 will be in Hull to bring you 20 works from the 21st century, 10 of them world premieres, continuing in Here and Now tonight at 10 o'clock. The new Music Biennial on BBC Radio 3 starts today. To find out more, visit the BBC Radio 3 website.
Good evening, I'm Chris Barrow, and now it's time for Opera on 3, which was recorded last month at Garsington Opera. Here's Sarah Moore-Peach.
Welcome to the sumptuous garden setting of Garsington Opera at Wormsley. Tonight, we're making our first ever Opera on Three visit to Garsington, which over the past few years has cemented its reputation as one of the best British summer opera houses. They moved to this estate just a few years ago, and what's unique about the temporary opera house that they've built here isn't so much the grounds in which it's set, although they are incredibly beautiful, it's the fact that there are transparent walls to the opera house, so that for the first half of the opera at least, we're in daylight and the stage feels like it's nestled in amongst the trees, which is rather appropriate for Act One of tonight's opera, Handel's Semele, because it takes place on Earth. Then, as it starts to get dark, we will board a plane to be escorted through the skies by a smartly dressed cabin crew who take the heroine Semele up to the palace of Jupiter, her lover. This is a new production by the Irish director Annalise Miskimmon. Our cast tonight, Semele is sung by the American soprano Heidi Stober, Jupiter by the tenor Robert Murray, and Juno by the mezzo Christine Rice, although we don't hear either Jupiter or Juno until Act Two. Semele's jealous sister Ino is sung by the Lithuanian Jurgita Adamonite. Semele's fiancé, Athamas, is the countertenor Christopher Ainsley. And the bass, David Storr, doubles as the god Somnus and Semele's father. And the orchestra of Garsington Opera are directed by Jonathan Cohen. Now, compared to most of Handel's operas, the plot of Semele is reasonably easy to grasp. Semele is about to get married to Athamas, whom she's not in love with. Instead, she's fallen for the god Jupiter, who swoops down as an eagle at her wedding and steals her away for himself. When his jealous wife Juno finds out, she co-opts the god of sleep, Somnus, in a plot to get Semele to ask Jupiter for immortality. Jupiter realises too late that he has to grant her wish, but that it means she'll have to die. So he kills her with a thunderbolt, and she comes to a very sticky end. Now, Semele is often portrayed as vain, narcissistic, and ruthlessly ambitious. But as soprano Heidi Stober says, she can be played much more sympathetically.
In this production, perhaps we aren't playing her the stereotypical way. She is not necessarily power hungry. She is not from the get-go looking to become a goddess. She is innocent. She's virginal. Her love for Jove or Jupiter is much more than an intense sexual attraction. She wants it all with him. She wants him fully. She, I think, has ideas of being married and having children with him. So it's, I think, a wonderful different take on Semele than perhaps might be the stereotypical ideas of her.
Heidi Stober, tonight's Semele. And here's director Annalise Miskimmon.
Well, I think she's a very modern woman in the sense that she's complex. This is the wonderful thing about Handel. He writes the most amazing female characters. I would say he's the Shakespeare of opera, really. Only he does everything with a lot less text. So I'm interested in a three-dimensional person on stage. I find it very annoying when people write off Semele as just some kind of gold-digging, god-loving mistress who gets her comeuppance because of her vanity, because actually the libretto, which is written by Congreve, of course, is much more subtle than that.